Here, it's good to see Jacob Wells here this morning.
Jacob.
Yeah. He's they've got to be here this morning. It's good to see Yvonne and Richard, and Vonda's here this morning. Good to see you guys. I see the Cook family out there, and I see a lot of people out there this morning, and it's good that you guys could be here with us. And we're just gonna have a good church service, worship the Lord this morning. I'm glad it's not as hot. It's still pretty warm, but it's not as hot as it has been. So thank the Lord for that. But thanks again. We had a good grocery give on Friday. We were able to give out 75 bags of groceries Friday, and it really went well. And we're glad that we were able to do that. Thank you guys. If you guys are giving to that ministry, thank you so much for that. It really helps a lot of people in our community. And right now there's a lot of families that are struggling. And just that little bit of groceries right there really gives them, just gives them some help. And so we're glad we're able to do it. And so thank you for giving to that. Thank you for supporting it. Thank you for being involved and helping out. So we got a train, and I'm just kind of monologuing here. Somebody got the announcements? Jesse, you doing the announcements again today?
Good morning, everybody.
Boy, you can hear that. Hey, man. Yeah. This is the one that I don't know. Go ahead.
So this morning, like Randy said, we are going to be celebrating the quizzers today.
No, mine.
She's good. Next Sunday is Promotion Sunday. And then next Sunday, August 30th, we will also be starting a combined Sunday school class for children of all ages.
Woohoo!
It starts at 9 o'clock. And are we doing it in the fellowship hall or in the parking lot?
Well, either or. It'll either be outside or in the fellowship hall, just depending on the weather. And it'll just be a short service or a short little class. So,
if we do have it in the fellowship hall, it states that we need to wear masks.
Yes.
Our Wednesday nights, Bible studies at 6:30 at church or via Zoom. Friday nights at 6:30 in the fellowship hall or Zoom.
Yes. You can.
So it looks like on Friday, Brian Morrison laid his mother, Shirley Morrison, to rest.
You're not on Zoom.
So remember that.
So we want to remember that family.
Okay. Right.
Anything else?
No, that'd be it.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you, Jesse. That was kind of on the spot. I kind of put her on the spot, so thank you for doing that. This morning, I know Vonda's going to come in a little bit and honor our quizzers, and so we're just going to go to the Lord in praise and worship this morning, and so we come here to honor Him, to praise and worship our Lord and Savior who brings us life. Amen?
Amen.
And so...
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. Song again.
Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, in worship and praise. Lord, we just want to honor you today. Lord, you gave all for us, Lord. We can just give a short time for you, it seems like. But Lord, we just want to cry out to you this morning for the lost in this community. Lord, we want to cry out to you for the ones who are sick and afflicted. Lord, we want to cry out to you for the ones who are hurting inside. Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we have many on our prayer list. We have many on our hearts and our minds. We have family members, Lord, that just need to know that you are real. Lord, and on that day could be short when our strength is failing, Lord. Lord, we just want to know that you are real. I believe that you are real, and I'll be praising you until that final day. Lord, I believe that you're coming back. So, Lord, let us just praise you until that time. Lord, we thank you. Be with us today. Anoint this service today. Let your Holy Spirit be in control. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God is so good. We're so proud of our young people in the church. I know we got a great group of young people, and among them we have our quizzers. And Vonda and Yvonne are going to come today. And this morning, and talk about that a little bit and honor them this morning. Carolyn, you're part of that. Get up here. Yeah.
All right. This was our quizzers, 7 of them. We studied Genesis this past year. We had 3 in the red level, 4 in the blue level. This was a very different year, because we had to hold our district and our regional quizzes virtually. That was totally different for all of us. But we did have 31 quizzers participate on our district, the Illinois district. Our quizzers were Blake Wells, and he had 24 out of 30. Madeline Smith had 27 out of 30. And Liberty Cook had 28 out of 30, which made Liberty qualified for the Red Level All-Star Illinois District Team. Then our blue level was Aaron Wiseman, 34 out of 40. Sophia Wells, 36 out of 40. Jada Smith, 36 out of 40. And Nicholas Cook was our only perfect score on the district with 40 out of 40.
Oh, gosh.
Which made him qualify for the blue level All-Star Illinois District Team. So now on the regionals. We had 128 quizzers from 10 districts in four states participated in our regional quiz, which is really, really low. Right, guys? Those of you that have been with us to Olivet, that was really low. The Illinois district did have the most. We had 27. So both the red level and blue level all-star teams placed fifth place in the all-star. And actually, when you think about it, the red level is only 4.6 points out of the first place. That's how tight it was. The blue level was only 3.4 points out of first place. So it was a really, really tight all-star team race going on there. Okay. Now, for regional scores, red level, Blake Wells was 36 out of 45.
Yay!
Madeline Smith was 42 out of 45. Liberty Cook was 40 out of 45. Blue level scores, Aaron Wiseman was 44 out of 60. Sophia Wells, 53 out of 60. Jada Smith, 50 out of 60.
Woo.
And Nicholas Cook, 57 out of 60.
Yay!
So I do have some trophies and some medallions for you down here that I'm going to give to each one of you. But I want to talk about this next year. We're going to be studying the book of Exodus, and I want to start September 9th, hopefully. And we are going to meet in the fellowship hall because we can distance in there. And we're going to meet every Wednesday and Sunday evenings, Wednesday at 6:30 and Sunday at 5. And then our big news is we are going to have a world quiz. Now, it will be June 19th to the 27th. They're saying it will be digital, but we might do it by region or we might do it by district where we can meet in person. So we'll see. That's still a little up in the air. But we do have dates. And the district quiz is either going to be April 10th or April 17th. I'm waiting on Debbie to get back to me on the clarification. So I also want to say, I think it's awesome that this fall, the adult Sunday school class lessons are going to be in the book of Exodus, which is the same as what we're studying.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really fun if we all study together. What do you think?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun if we could all study together some, since that's what the adult Sunday school lessons are? Well, I would like for any kid that wants to quiz, let me know. And I want you to come join us as we study the book of Exodus.
Amen. Right. Amen. Thank you, Vonda. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
You're going to twirl it around.
You get two because you got hurt.
Yay, guys.
Maddie, and your regional medallion.
Jason. Maddie.
So, and your regional medallion. Jada. And your regional medallion. Blake. And your regional medallion. And then Liberty.
Yay.
And your regional medallion.
Yay, Liberty. Amen. Thank you.
Yay.
Yay, guys. Good job.
Can you go over and get your picture real quick?
Oh, man, isn't that a great group of kids? And Carolyn.
I still remember.
They're about as tall as her, aren't they? Those kids are just about as tall as her.
I know it. Did you like that? Just hit me. I tell you, we have such a great group of kids, and I just thank the Lord that we're able to teach them and prepare them for the what's to come, you know. And that's kind of the goal that we should have, and our thoughts, and let them get settled. And Jesus and where he preached in a boat, he preached on the shore, He preached on the mountainside and on the mountaintop. He preached in the wilderness. Thousands of people came and followed him to listen to his word. No air conditioning. No camp chairs. You know, when I think about that, and thousands of people came to listen to him, but they met wherever they could. And I think right now, if they can come and worship him and listen to him, even out in the desert wilderness, we can come to him today, right, in an old parking lot. And we can just lift up our hearts. We can just lift up and praise him.
Lifted up, be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted up, be lifted up.
Miss Maddie has a song again for us this morning, and I just thank the Lord for her listening to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit work through her music. And I know she probably gets a little embarrassed when people talk about her, but God has definitely gifted her, and I feel the Holy Spirit every time she sings. And she sings with a heart, and that heart is for God. And so we're going to let Maddie come and sing for us this morning.
The sounds and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Amen.
Jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. And know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. You can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song.
That's right, amen.
Take a break from all the plans that you make and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg and please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. And read the word, put to test the things you've learned until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Clear the stage, make some place for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all my heart is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to. Yes, I can sing all I want to. We can sing all we want to. We want to. We can sing all we want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song.
Yes, right.
Clear the stage and set the sound that lights the place. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Amen. Such a true, true.
My dad thing. Used to come home.
Amen. My dad needs to come home too. Amen. My father. So good. So good. You know, we can go through the motions and get it wrong. There's more to it than just going through the motions. And I know that I didn't know what Maddie was singing this morning. But that was so good. So good. So good. You know, I was thinking this morning about how blessed I am. But it also, as I was studying through this week, I realized that of all the things that I've done in my life, and, you know, am I still doing what I'm supposed to do? You know, every day in my life, I think about that. And in Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, can everybody hear me okay this morning? Everybody hear me okay? I want to make sure of that. Not just so you can hear my voice, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, wind's blowing a little bit. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kingdom to us in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, Lord, and I just ask this morning that You open up our hearts this morning that we may receive everything that You have for us. Lord, speak through me this morning as I bring Your word. Lord, empty me of anything that may cause me to stumble. Empty anything. Remove anything that may hinder. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit be in control. Work through us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I tell you, God is so good to us. God is so good to us. And Paul here in Ephesians, he says, he's talking about what we were. It's what we were. And he says, and you, he says, who were dead at one time. What does that mean when the Bible says we were dead? Well, dead is, you know, it's an interesting word to use here. And what, you know, what does it mean? It means without life. That's what it means. We know that. It also means useless. Listen to that. Dead means useless, ineffective, or powerless. And I was thinking about that, and you know, I've done construction work, and I like my tools. You know, everybody likes their tools. And I like the new cordless tools. and they work really well, but they only work when they're not dead, right? And just like this battery, it's got a battery in it, and you can tell this has been used quite a bit. But to me, right now, it's got everything it needs. It's got everything it needs to work. It's got the switches, and it's got the controls. It's got the battery that's in it, but it's dead. The battery is dead. It's powerless. It's useless to me right now. Something is useless. That's the way God sees us when we're disobedient to Him. We're like this cordless drill without a battery, or with a dead battery. It's useless. It can't be used. You know, but what happens is when we become obedient and we start working for Christ, He charges our battery. He gives us power. So now He makes something that was useless and dead, He makes it alive so that it can be used and it works. Understand? That's pretty easy. You know, and what Paul is saying is that apart from Christ, which is living for ourselves, we are of no use to God and we are powerless to do anything about it, which is much like being dead, just like that dead battery. Useless. We have no power. However, Paul goes on to tell us why we are spiritually dead. He says it's in our trespasses and our sins. Trespasses and sin. Paul's not just saying that the same thing two different ways. No, when we look at what trespasses, you know, trespasses have to do with our actions, our disobedience to God. And while sin, it refers to our condition, our state of being, which is by nature, we are sinners. We were born that way. The question has been asked, do we sin because we are sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? You hear that again? The question is, do we sin because we are sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? And the question is, yes, it's both. We were born that way. In Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin, which is Adam, entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So we're all born that way because of one man, of his sin. You know, have you ever heard the term dead man walking? You've heard that before. And it's because of our sin, we are physically alive but spiritually dead to God. And it's just like this right here. This drill has everything that it needs to work, but when it has a dead battery, it's useless, right? It's just like this battery can go in my truck wherever I go. This drill can come to church. It can come to church and it can go back home and it can go through Walmart. I mean, well, you know, I don't take it to Walmart, but what I'm saying is it can go and exist in this world with a dead battery. But unless it has the power of the Holy Spirit inside of it, unless it has power, then it's useless. I'll let that go for a minute. Our state of being spiritually dead to God is a result in living a life disobedient and that is offensive to God but pleasing to Satan. You hear that? When you're living in disobedience to God, you're living in a place where you're pleasing to Satan. That's tough. You know, all of this is rooted in one thing. It's fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's what this world wants us to do. I mean, look at this world that we live in. We have everything that our hearts could desire in front of us. Immorality, it's right down the street. You want to live in that? You can. You want to run after things of this world? It's right in front of you. In this nation that we live in, you can have anything you want if you want to work hard enough to get it. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Another way is to say It is we do what is right in our own eyes. And the Bible clearly speaks out against that. In Deuteronomy 12, 8 and 8, it says, "You shall not do all what we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes." Wow. You know, I've said that myself. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, "I did what I thought was right"? How many times have you said that? How many times have you heard somebody say that? But the Bible is telling us, the Scripture is telling us, it's not about what we do. It's not about what I thought was right or you thought was right. It's about what God thinks is right. And we should look at the Scriptures and say, what does God say is right? Because we can think of a lot of things. In Judges 17:6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes." Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." Who is our great counselor? Amen. You know, we're guilty of this. We're all guilty of this all the time with how, you know, even sometimes how we raise our kids, how we treat our spouse, our commitment to church, and even in our worship of God. That song that Maddie just sang is absolutely right. You know, you can sing a song all you want, but there's a difference between singing and worshiping. We just kind of go do things our own way, mixing a little bit of biblical truth with worldly wisdom and our own motivations. By that, Paul says, listen to what he says. He says, "By nature, we are children of wrath." And what we are, or what we could be, it's listed there in verse 4 and 5 of Ephesians. It says, "But God, we were dead, living a life only to please ourselves and our own desires, unwilling, unable to save ourselves." See, that drill right there is unable of putting a new battery in itself. It can't do it on its own. Somebody has to put that new battery in that drill for it to be working again. That's what God does to us. That's what God does to us. He's the one that puts the power in the drill. He's the one that puts the power in us. God's motivation is this, simply this: His mercy and His great love. And where God's mercy and love come together, we find God's grace. Man, He's a merciful God. It's important to know here that God does not just turn a blind eye to our sin. He can't, because He is a God of justice and righteousness. And yes, there will be a day where we'll stand before Him and He will be the good judge, because He is righteous. And He will judge each and every person. It's only because He found a suitable substitute who took our place and the punishment we deserve, that is His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about that. It's only because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ can we be saved. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him." And Isaiah 11:12 says, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the body with the strong. And because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors." Jesus Listen to me. You know, however, it was God's mercy and great love that compelled him to do this. And it was nothing, nothing on our part, because goodness was found in us. There was no goodness found in us. John 3:16 and 17 tells us about this love that he has. And we're familiar with this passage, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. Great scripture, isn't it? Something to note there. Did you ever notice that Jesus is speaking in 1 John, or in John chapter 3, and when it comes to this verse, it's not written in red? Just something to look at. While God loves all the creation, that does not mean that all will receive mercy and grace, and only those who come to God with repentance, receiving the forgiveness of sin through Christ's shed blood. That's tough, because in this world today, everybody thinks that everybody's going to heaven. That we have a loving God and everybody's going to heaven, but we know through the Word, through the Scripture, that that's not so. Only those who come to God with repentance and receiving the forgiveness of sin through Christ's shed blood will make it. You know, God, He produced a miracle. And even when we were dead in our transgressions, our trespasses, you know, we think about how Jesus raised the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And let me tell you something. When I got saved, Jesus raised me from the dead. Because I was dead in my sins and I was dead in my transgressions, and He made me alive. He raised me from a dead person who was useless to somebody who was useful with strength and power spiritually. Amen? Come on. How many of you this morning are alive in Jesus Christ, because you were once dead and now you've been made alive in Him? He brought you from a state of being dead to a place where you're alive and useful. Amen? That's something to shout about, and that's something that I get, you know, I can't contain myself. Not only has God made us alive, but God continues to work in us to live a life that is pleasing and to glorify Him. And if we would only have the faith to let Him do it. You know, this church, the doctrine, our Nazarene background is a holiness church, and we're called to be holy. What's that mean, to be called to be holy? It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing that we have to do every day. We have to be holy every day. We can only do that through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." You know, that's the miracle of God. He calls us, He saves us, He keeps us, and He transforms us. He puts a new battery inside of us with power. How do we keep that battery charged? We got to keep coming back. We got to keep coming to Him. We got to stay close to the power source. Whenever I got to charge a battery, I got to plug it in to the power source, the charger. Amen? That's why I come to church. I get to be with my friends in Christ who are alive. Amen? But yet I get to get on my knees. I can get on my knees and I can plug into the power source, and He can charge me up. Amen? Come on. That's good stuff. I'm almost like Dan Bohai this morning. I'm preaching good, aren't I? Almost. Maybe not quite. Once again, the Word of God speaks of the future events. What will it be? What we will be. Come on now, this is great. In the past tense, because of God's faithfulness to keep His promise, He tells us throughout the Scripture. And Christ Jesus is the key to this entire verse. The previous statement here that He had made depends on this fact and this fact alone. Our being raised up and our sitting in the heavenly places are only made possible if we are found to be in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have to be in Him. He has to be in us. And if we are then all that belongs to Christ, everything He has accomplished and been given now belongs to us. Think about that. Everything that He has in heaven stored up for us belongs to us if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you've been raised from the dead. Romans 8, 15 and 18 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." You know, He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Man, you hear that? All this junk we go through down here on this earth, the sicknesses, the persecutions or whatever we go through, all the anxieties, all the fears, all the stress, all that stuff we go through on this earth, It's worth it all that we suffer for just a little while here. It doesn't even compare to the glory and the things that we will have when we get to heaven. Amen. About to lose my voice. When Paul thought about the glory that will be revealed to us, he said, "I will go through anything in this life, even suffering, knowing the inheritance that is waiting for me in heaven." Man, I'll go through anything, he said. And he did. He said, "I'll go through beating. I'll go through imprisonment. I'll go through any of that. You can throw me off a cliff. You can crucify me. You can do whatever you want to me. I'll go through it because I know what's waiting for me in heaven." Amen. I know what's waiting for me on the other side because I've had a promise given to me. I've been raised from the dead and I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Man, that's something to be excited about. I'm tired of being just a down and depressed Christian. I don't want to live like that ever. I want to be somebody who knows that I'm alive in Christ, and just because I'm going through a little bit of stuff down here, that doesn't mean anything compared to the glory that I'm going to be revealed to when I get to heaven. Amen? That should be our attitude. And so often, we are not even willing to suffer just a little bit. Sometimes we, you know, it gets a little hot and we complain. Or it gets a little cold and we complain. We have to wait 15 minutes on our food at McDonald's and we get complaining. We can't even suffer a little bit. The preacher preaches way too long during a church service. They sang one too many songs that I didn't like. We complain. We can't show up to church on Wednesday night. We can't be involved in Sunday services or serve in any of the areas that the church is in great need of. Now, I know I'm poking a little bit right there, but I'm just telling you the truth. Why is that? Because sometimes we fail to see what Christ has done for us and what we will be given because of Him. And because of that, we end up with a heart of ingratitude? Are you grateful this morning for what Christ has done for you? Not only, just think, not only has He just gave His life, really? That's just it? He just gave His life for you. Not only that, He has prepared a place, a mansion, it says in heaven. He's prepared a place for you where there's more than you can ever imagine. A life full of freedom. A life full of no anxiety, no death, no suffering, no mourning. Just a life free of all the junk that we go through here. Some of us deal with anxieties and things like that, and I'm telling you, just let Jesus Christ, just remember that not only did He die for you on a cross, He has promised you a place in heaven that is beyond our belief. I'm not done yet. In other words, here Paul is saying, you haven't seen anything yet. Man, you haven't seen anything yet. There's not anything here on this earth compared to what is in heaven. Nothing. Nothing. All the pleasures, all the nice homes, all the nice cars, all the whatever you think is so nice here on this earth. The beautiful buildings, the beautiful cities, whatever. The beautiful mountaintops and all that, which are very beautiful, God's creation. But none of that compares to what is in heaven. None of it. And if you think you've been blessed now, if you think you've seen God's hand at work now, that you have caught a glimpse of the glory, just wait. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. We see through a dark glass. But he said, face to face, when I can see face to face, I'll know. It'll be revealed to me. But right now, I can just barely see. I just get a glimpse of what's in heaven. That's Paul speaking. And Paul had the attitude he was willing to go through anything. I know that for many of you, this message is not new. You've heard this message before. But the question I want to ask you this morning, I want you to ask yourself, is how have you been changed by this? Has God's promise that is in these words, are they true? Are they found to be in your heart? Has He really changed you in your life? Have you been changed, or are you still living in a life to please yourself? And you could say, sure, I go to church. Sure, I pray. Sure, I read the Bible. But at the end of the day, are you living a life that has been changed by the redeeming power of the cross? Have you been changed? Have you been raised from a place of being dead spiritually to a place that is alive and full of life and power that is useful for Jesus Christ and for God? So this morning I want to close with this. Will you meet Jesus at the cross of Calvary this morning? Will you meet Him today? Will you say, I'm not worried? And I'm saying that yesterday is gone. We can't change yesterday, but we can change today. We can change right now, this moment in our life. And so right now in this moment, will you say right now that I give myself to Him and I'm going to accept the cross of Jesus Christ, which makes me alive. And I can live a life spiritually alive, not spiritually dead any longer. I set myself aside, lay myself aside, and that is my sacrifice. That's what it means to take up your cross and follow Him. That's what it means to live a holiness life, is to live obedient to Him. So I ask you this morning, will you meet Jesus? Will you meet Jesus in this place? Will you meet Jesus in this parking lot this morning? Will you meet Him today? Will you let Him be in control of your life? Will He let you charge? Let Him charge your battery up today. so that you can be useful and alive. Man, be alive today. Amen. Just accept Him. Amen. Just accept Him. Maddie, would you come and sing? Can you come and sing that song again as we close? Please. Where are you at? Where's she at? Is she hiding? Amen. Maddie, can you come and sing again? You got time to do that. Can you hear me? Amen. As she's coming, man, I hope these words hit your heart today. Share these words with the world. We need Jesus in our life. Amen. Come on, girl. Amen. Just take a moment to think. Take a moment to pray as she's singing this morning. Amen. You got the plug in? What did Papa do? Put it in the wrong thing. Okay. It should be turned up. Jesus at the cross this morning. Just right where you're at. You don't have to get up and come forward.
Instead the sounds and lights of place.
Just meet Him where, right where you're
at. That's the measure you must take.
Just bow your head.
To crush the idol.
Meet Him at the cross this morning.
Drag the pews and all the decorations too. Until the congregation's few. Then have revival. Your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. And know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. Take a break. All the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life. Till the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Read the word and put to test things you've heard. Until your heart and soul are stirred and poured and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing. sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. We must not worship things that are not worth it. Make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything that I give all my love is an idol. I can sing all I want to, yes I can sing all I want to. We can sing all we want to, all we want to. We can sing all we want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. Clear the stage and sound and lights for a place. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Amen. Thank you, Maddie. Amen. Amen. So as we leave today, let's live. Let's be a people who are alive in Christ. Amen.
Our son is missing.
Amen. Amen. I love the ads. Don't you? Amen. So, anyway, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day. And like I said, alive in Christ. Amen. Amen.